Sometimes Christians lose sight of what's most important, and we get distracted by the things of the world. Hi, I'm Stephen Street, Executive Pastor at Fraser Church, and welcome to Fraser 365. It's our hope for you that in this devotional series, you'll be brought back to the one true center of our faith, just Jesus. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome to day 48 of Just Jesus, the Promised Messiah. Today's devotion is titled, The Confirmation of the Transfiguration. Robert H. Mounts once wrote, "The Transfiguration was an awe-inspiring display of the supernatural majesty of Christ. It was a foretaste of what will happen when he comes at the end of history to establish his reign. Since he has already appeared in the radiant splendor of his eternal state, the Transfiguration, there can be no question but that he will return in fulfillment of such a dramatic visual promise, the Second Coming." Our text for today is from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Today's scripture is a part of a larger discussion by Peter about the reliability of the Christian message. Peter was addressing those who doubted the truth of the gospel due to the negative influence of false teachers. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21 emphasizes the trustworthiness of the prophetic word of God as well as the credibility of the eyewitness accounts. Jim Shaddix and Daniel Aiken provide an in-depth look at these verses of Scripture. The Transfiguration of Christ, found in Matthew 17, 1 through 8, Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 8, and Luke 9, verses 28 through 36, serves as the backdrop for 2 Peter 1, 16 through 18. "On that mountain, God the Father gave divine witness to the glory and majesty of God the Son, including his fulfillment of and superiority over both the law, Moses, and the prophets, Elijah. The event also foreshadowed the revelation of that same glory and majesty in Christ's return. It's no accident that the Transfiguration accounts in all three synoptic gospels are prefaced by Jesus' declaration that some of his apostles were about to witness a preview of his second coming. You can see Matthew 16, 28, Mark 9, 1, and Luke 9, 27. The theophany that took place at the Transfiguration, no doubt, was an advanced screening of our Lord's return and God's coming kingdom. Here, Peter recalls the event because it represented and anticipated Christ's powerful coming. That's exactly where the rub had come with Peter's opponents. This cosmic testimony of Christ's return flew in the face of the false teachers who derided his coming that he promised, chapter 3, verse 4. They held fast to the stability of the world, the impossibility of sudden interventions, and the constancy of the natural order. But in Peter's mind, there was no doubt that one historical event calls for another. Consequently, he wanted his readers to know they could be confident of the gospel truth that one day Jesus would return with the same honor and glory that he had received from God the Father on that holy mountain. To strengthen the faith of his readers, Peter uses the Transfiguration as one example of the validity and credibility of the apostolic witness to the gospel, as well as to one of its crucial components. While his reminder about the apostolic proclamation of Christ's return is grammatically at the center of verse 16, Peter's major point is the contrasting qualifications at play. He and the other apostles made known the return of Christ by being eyewitnesses, something the false teachers couldn't put on their resumes. He denies the accusation of his critics that he and the other apostles were simply blind followers of cleverly contrived myths from verse 16, or fictitious stories when it came to their gospel. Instead, he counters that they actually heard this voice when it came from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. That's verse 18. The apostles had been there. They had seen it with their own eyes and heard it with their own ears. These verses are radiant with at least three magnificent descriptions of the awesome display of Christ's greatness that the apostles saw and heard that day. First, in verse 16, Peter identifies the nature of the event. It was the power and coming of His majesty. It's best translated and understood as the powerful coming exhibited on this occasion as well as the one to come. Peter saw Jesus' powerful coming at the Transfiguration as a precursor to the ultimate demonstration at His second coming. Second, Peter describes what happened at the Transfiguration. Christ received honor and glory from the majestic glory. That's verse 17. The word honor denotes the exalted status being bestowed on Jesus, while glory indicates the heavenly radiance most often seen in the Bible as belonging to God. Third, in verse 17, Peter reports what God said about Jesus. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." The first part of this sentence is probably best understood as reading, "This is my Son, my beloved." It serves as a heavenly expression of the deep and abiding love the Father has for the Son. The latter part of the sentence indicates the good pleasure the Father has in the Son. Together, the pronouncement attested to God's affirmation and affection for Jesus Christ in both His person and His work. This text is a reminder that our faith isn't rooted in fairy tales and fiction. Peter and the other apostles didn't have to fabricate stories about Jesus. They had actually seen Him and done life with Him. Having such a knowledge passed along by firsthand account ought to edify us as Christ's disciples. And Peter's reminders of Jesus' glory and majesty should compel us to godly living and sustain us in the face of falsehood and worldliness until we see Him face to face. May these scriptures inspire you today on the veracity of God's Word, while encouraging you to be a credible witness for His glory. Some questions to consider. Why is the Bible the best commentary on itself? And how does today's scripture influence your response? How should you respond to Peter's words in verse 19? And finally, what do verses 20 and 21 teach about prophecy, and how do they increase your confidence in God's Word? Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.